Welcome to Family Affairs, the podcast guaranteed to save your sex life. I'm Lisa Thomas.
I'm Jen Siegel.
And I'm your host, Ben Robbins.
This is a show where we discuss everything from weird sex stuff
to online dating
to the challenges.
Challenges of having kids and raising a family.
By the way, we each have two kids and we probably wouldn't listen to this podcast with them, but that's your call. Listener discretion is advised.
Lisa and Jen met on the first day of graduate school and have been friends ever since. For the last decade, while Lisa was running a sex therapy practice, Jen was raising her kids at home.
And Ben is just a guy who started a podcast because
he didn't want to pay for marriage counseling.
Cheap bastard.
Welcome to Family Affairs, the podcast guaranteed to save your sex life. Today we're talking about public nudity and I guess more specifically perceived obscenity. We're trying to cover everything from breastfeeding to nudism to exhibitionism. The key word being obscenity and indecency, because there's some question, I think, maybe culturally or religiously about what's acceptable and what's not. And I think we're finding that it isn't even consistent within what we would consider traditionally Christian cultures. We were just speaking about Spain and France and how much more common it is for them to attend beach activities in the nude. We were just discussing the Free the Nipple hashtag movement on Twitter and Instagram. You guys are both familiar with this?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. I'm aware of it in terms of that it's the idea that women's upper body should not be quote unquote obscene, especially considering women nurse and all those other things. Mm-hmm. So
fairly. I don't know if you know this, but men have nipples as well that are fully functioning.
Well, not
in
quite.
In some regards.
Not as much.
They're there.
They have blood vessels, though, and they're not like, but they're what, not
what's
just
the,
moles,
what's
right?
the use? Like, what are they doing?
From what I can gather, mm-hmm. it has to do with embryo development. Hmm. And I'm not an expert on this, but embryos are female initially.
Correct.
And they become male or female after like
right.
six
they get like a hormone shower.
It's like a shower. Yeah.
Right. And your hormone shower.
I've heard the shower term as well.
The shower term. Mm-hmm. Get a hormone shower and then I think it's like around 8-ish weeks, like sex organs begin to form. So everybody starts with ovaries. And if the sex shower is a testosterone male sex shower, then the ovaries descend and become testes.
I see.
So your testes are actually my ovaries.
Sweet.
Wow. I like when you put it that way.
Thank you.
There's also an issue of a seam that maybe we won't get into, but guys have a taint seam.
Right.
That is the result of things sealing up.
Right, your labia not separating.
My labia, your labia have grown closed.
They have.
As I've been told by my doctor.
It's true.
I love this idea. How many men really understand that they were initially sort of female at the beginning? And how would that change some ideas if they actually knew that?
That's a loaded
topic.
It really could be.
Hashtag, we were all chicks.
Yeah. Hashtag, free the labia we all used to have.
Hey, that we all used to have.
That's some of now, us still do.
Free the male labia.
That's now the
That's the new
seam
hashtag.
Of your ball sack.
I'm going to put the first one up
free
on Instagram.
The seam. That's what it should be.
Speaking of Instagram, I understand that this free the nipple thing, I associate it with Twitter, and I associate it with some sort of, I don't know, anti-misogyny movement. I think it's sort of based loosely on the idea that we should desexualize the sight of a breast.
Yes.
Which I'm on board with. I think that gets into some of the breastfeeding stuff as well. Mm-hmm. But I discovered today that there's a lot of raunch on Instagram that I sort of thought was not possible. I thought the whole point of Instagram was to keep the raunch off. But Free the Nipple apparently is the way you find big, huge penises on Instagram that are uncensored.
Yeah, when you showed it to us, I hardly saw nipples. I couldn't pay attention to the nipples.
I don't think I saw a true Free the Nipple post.
No, I don't disagree.
In the spirit of the effort.
No. Mm-hmm.
Which I barely understand, to be honest.
It was like all dick pics.
Yeah. Lots.
Which speaks volumes about who's searching for Free the Nipple.
Right. And clearly, women that are like breastfeeding are not, they're not hashtagging that.
No, and
they're
co-opting not. It into no longer Free the Nipple in the same way. Yeah.
Well, we just happen to have a special guest on the topic of Free the Nipple. We have Alexa Kaczynski is a freelance writer and a friend of the show, and I'm sure you all know her as the Wooden Slurpee on Twitter. Alexa, are you there?
I am.
Great. Hi, Alexa.
Hello.
Hello.
We are happy to have you. I mentioned that you're outspoken about Free the Nipple. And for the sake of this podcast, we're calling you an expert on Free the Nipple. Is that all right?
Yeah, you know, sure.
Thanks for being our expert.
Yeah. We are curious about this because it is, I guess I'm curious about this because it's a way to look at breasts on the internet and feel like somehow I'm being responsible.
You're helping the cause.
At the same time, I'm doing my part for feminism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, armchair feminism. Who just need to sit there and look at nipple pictures all day.
Is it safe to say it's a feminist thing?
Oh, yeah, this is totally a feminist thing. I did this entirely for women. I did not do this for men at all.
But you know that men look at it, obviously. And
of course.
And even if they're progressive, open-minded men, they're probably, it's hard for me to not see breasts that appeal to me on some level when I look at this. And maybe,
yeah, that's totally acceptable. You're allowed to look and do whatever you want. I mean, people always are so worried about what other people are going to do to their pictures. I'm sure that there are just as many people on Facebook, you know, jerking off to your family vacation photos as there are, you know, so we don't, I mean, I can't control what people do.
I really appreciate that, by the way. That really means a lot to me to think that someone's jerking it to my family vacation. And that raises an interesting point where there seems to be a lot of liability surrounding what you post on the internet. Or at least it's perceived that way.
People personal are afraid, liability, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, like your next employer is going to do a background search and find your nipples.
Right.
Which shouldn't be a problem.
Exactly.
It shouldn't be.
I think the older the millennials get, the more pictures there are. So, hey, if everyone's doing it.
Ironically, the millennials are probably the least affected by this, right? Yeah. This is right up their alley.
They really don't rat's ass.
So what, in your opinion, Alexa, what's the objective of this hashtag movement?
The objective is to normalize the female nipple so that women can have complete bodily autonomy. That's like the short answer.
Hmm. Please elaborate.
And it's obviously there's more to it than that, but that's really what I want. You know, the whole point for me when I started looking into this was for women to have complete control over how they dress, whether they choose to wear, you know, a knee crop or, you know, whatever. Women are judged based on if they wear too much or if they wear too little.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't be. They should be free from that constraint just as men are. So that was where I was coming from.
The thing that's interesting to me is that it's so specifically about the nipple and that, you know, 2 or 3 inches of diameter, depending on any number of things. But it's so acceptable to see 90% of a bare breast in advertising and everywhere we look publicly, but something about the nipple is what makes it offensive.
Yeah.
In quotes, offensive in quotes.
Female breasts and the nipple in particular are also seen as erogenous zones though, when you're having sex. So how do you square the two? You know what I mean? One, I totally agree with you. I think that breastfeeding women should be, and even not breastfeeding, women should certainly have autonomy and have the choice to do what they want. But it is a erogenous thing when you're having sex. So how do you square, what do you do with that?
Well, anything can be erogenous. I mean, I like feet.
Hmm.
You know, but I don't tell people to cover up their feet at the beach because I like feet. You know, I mean, it's, you can have any body part can be a turn on for anybody else. So you, and like, again, you can't control what's going to turn people on.
Right.
And that's totally not what I was trying to do. When I say desexualize, I don't mean you can't, you know, sexualize the female breast in your mind. You certainly can. Or if you're a woman, you can do that too. But it's really about taking it and giving women the same freedoms as men have over their bodies. So, you know, maybe desexualize isn't the best, you know, word I could use.
No,
normalize, I guess.
I understand what you're saying. Do you think that women should be able to go around topless like men?
Yes, absolutely. If they want to, yeah.
And I tend to agree with that. That's why I think desexualize is the terminology that I cling to. Because the hardest thing for me to rationalize with this movement is that I can't look at a breast non-sexually. I can't separate that in my mind. And I don't know if that's a heterosexual male thing. I don't know if, do women see breasts as sexual? I'm going to say Alexa probably does not. But do you guys, when you look at a breast, do you see sexuality or do you see feeding babies?
So I think when I breastfed my kids, I sort of began to desexualize my breast. I think that they were more of a sexual object before. I mean, I can certainly appreciate what Alexa is saying about, you know, feminism and women really accepting their bodies. I think in the 80s and 90s, when plastic surgery became very popular, there was kind of this message that women shouldn't accept the way that they look. They need to alter themselves. And a lot of women did and ended up on the show Botched, where it does not look right.
Right.
So I can certainly appreciate, you know, accepting your body. For me, I think the process of breastfeeding helped me to accept and desexualize my breasts a little bit more than before the process of breastfeeding my kids.
See, I agree
just
with
sort
that.
Sort of desensitized, like they were out, I was
they
feeding.
They were walking just, around.
Right, they became useful in another way other than just as an erogenous zone and for sexual pleasure. They became functional.
And I agree with that because they were just a sexual thing before. And then, I mean, they get huge and they get painful and you're feeding a child. Right. But then the hard part was then dealing with my husband who was like, whoa, look at those enormous boobs. And I was like, if you even look at them the wrong way, they're going to hurt. Like, you don't get any of this right. at all.
Yeah, right? That's the irony, right?
It is the irony because yep. I was either huge boobs and very pregnant and not wanting him anywhere near me or then nursing. And I'm like, I'm leaking. The last thing I want you to do is touching me in a sexual way there. So I would agree with that. I think that it did become less sexual after having kids. Mm-hmm. Plus they change so much after having kids. It's
right. Mine look better.
See, you're like the 1%.
Right, because they were small and then they got bigger and then they kind of stayed bigger.
Oh, see, that's awesome.
It was pretty exciting for me.
Yeah.
The thing that was fascinating to me about the pictures that were going around Twitter was that there seemed to be a lot of positive accolades associated with it. You know, I didn't see any negative feedback. I'm sure there had to be some. But I saw people getting a lot of kudos for doing it, and mm-hmm. I had to believe that was satisfying on some very primitive level, just to hear that people think you look great or people think you're brave or whatever their angle was.
Right.
So, Alexa, to that note, I guess what caused you to want to participate in this, and what kind of response did you receive?
Well, I initially read about it last year. I think Miley Cyrus and her friends had posted something on Instagram where they were, and then it was a Free the Nipple hashtag. And then there was apparently a movie, which I did not see, called Free the Nipple. And it didn't make any sense to me. I didn't see the significance in it at that point, but it stuck with me. And then like around February, I was like, maybe I should participate. Like maybe that would be kind of something fun to get out of my shell a little bit. And then it was a little too cold to do in February, so mm-hmm. I waited until April. And then I just started, I posted one topless selfie a day for 30 days.
Oh,
and
wow.
On Twitter.
I didn't even realize there were that many of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Alexa, let me ask you, have you always been somebody that's pretty open with nudity or showing your body, or was this kind of like a uncomfortable or strange thing for you to do initially?
Well, I actually don't have a problem being naked or being, but I'm not a nudist. I don't walk around my house naked. And I've never, but I don't have a problem. Weirdly enough, I don't have a problem with exhibitionism.
Oh,
so
right.
There's probably a little bit of that in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed the shock value of that. So mm-hmm. that part made it fun, but then also getting to do and edit photos was really incredible. So that was, you know, and then having, you know, potentially my family see was also a little bit scary.
That's all I think about is my father. That's all I can think about is my dad hearing or his friends seeing it or something.
What was your family's reaction, if you don't mind me asking?
My mom was freaked out just because she thought that this could ruin opportunities for me, which it very well might. I don't actually know. I have any repercussions yet, but my cousin saw male cousin and he was very uncomfortable with it. But you know, like in general, like if they happen to see it, I'm out there. It's my account's public and it's open. So if they see it, they see it, you know?
Did you get any judgmental response on Twitter from this?
No, not really. Yeah. I mean, I had pretty much positive stuff. I would say the most judgmental stuff came from women.
Oh, really?
Wow. Isn't that the case always? I feel like women are always the worst enemies of women.
Yes.
We're always hardest on each other.
We really are.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was the most depressing part about it, because I was ready to take on men telling me that I wasn't good looking or that I was, you know, whatever horrible trollish things they wanted to say about my appearance. But that really didn't happen. I mean, a couple of guys, but for the most part, it was women just, you know, basically telling me that what I was doing was, you know, not important, and that. And then I was, you know, there were so many other things on the agenda that were mattered so much more to feminism, that this was just something for women to, another way for women to just be sluts. So
that's amazing to me, because you would think, yes, there's any number of ways that you can sort of approach feminism, but why not approach it from as many as possible? Like, why tear somebody else's ideas down in order to make yours big? I don't understand the whole women
hating on women,
phenomenon.
Women and women violence.
Right.
Women being jealous of other women is a big problem.
Yes.
And so that's, I did actually address that. There was one post, instead of posting a topless, I posted about how, what I do with myself when I find myself looking at a woman and judging her based on her appearance, because it usually evokes a reaction. I think, oh, I want to look like that. Or I think, oh, thank God I don't look like that. Mm. Just that immediate, you know, and it's very visceral, and it's very like intoxicating. So I watch what I do when I look at that. I immediately realize that it's not them. It is just me. And I'm just projecting my own insecurities onto those women. And I'm doing it in the form of judging their appearance.
Yes, yeah. I think we as women do tend to do that a lot.
I'm a father of two young women. Two little girls, to be specific. But the cliche is that men are always worried about what's going to happen to their daughters because of the way they've treated women in their lives, I think that's fair to say. But I personally am more afraid of how my daughters are going to be treated by other girls, because I think that meanness is a lot scarier to me than what I've certainly experienced in relationships.
I mean, I would agree all day long. I happen to have two boys. They're 6 and 10. And so they're firmly entrenched in the elementary school thing. Mm-hmm. And I, every day, am glad that I don't have to deal with that girl-on-girl violence that goes on. And even way starting in kindergarten, first grade, girls are bitches.
Right, girls, it's brutal.
It's brutal.
It's brutal.
Guys, they may get pissed and they punch each other or kick each other in the balls. And 2 minutes later, it's over and done with, moving on. Girls will hold on to that shit forever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And just to speak briefly to Alexa's point about whether or not this could affect her in the future or affect her career, the thing that reminds me of is when I was working as a chef back in the day, I was cooking to make ends meet in college, and I worked for a chef that said, I asked him if he was going to drug test me when he hired me, and he said, you don't want the kind of job that's going to drug test you. And I thought it was nice to be in that position. I mm-hmm. certainly didn't feel like I was in that position at the time, but I really appreciate that now. And that's sort of how I feel about this free the nipple thing. If you are ever affected by this in your personal life or in a job interview, then you should run from that job.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I guess I'm just going to have to like go into the world and see how it does affect me. I mean, there are certain jobs I'm just going to not apply for because I know they're going to do a search and they're mm-hmm. That's going to pop up. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Alexa, do you mind me asking how old you are?
I'm 37.
Oh, okay. We're all about the same age.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank Alexa for being here. We need to take a quick break. More with Lisa and Jen when we return. Welcome back to Family Affairs, the podcast guaranteed to save your sex life. I'm your host, Ben Robbins. I'm here with Lisa Thomas and Jen Siegel, and we're talking about public nudity and sort of different perceptions of obscenity and indecency surrounding nudity in the human body. We just wrapped up talking about the Free the Nipple campaign, where women are sort of posting intimate pictures of themselves, arguably intimate pictures of themselves, online. And that's bringing us, speaking of nipples, to breastfeeding. And what can be controversial, depending on who you ask, because people tend to take their breasts out in public to feed their babies.
Yes.
I guess some of the basic points in the argument are that it's normal and natural and convenient for women to feed their babies, and maybe there's even some health concerns with having milk on board and not feeding your baby. And what is it? Is it mastitis? What's the term?
Mastitis.
From what I gather, the real objection to breastfeeding is just obscenity, or that it's considered immoral to display private parts of your body publicly, or that it might arouse sexual feelings in a man to view bare breasts in the public. And maybe it's wrong for children to see, but I don't know.
I was excited when Nordstrom's made the women's nursing areas and put really nice furniture, making it an attractive place to go and breastfeed your baby within a shopping center.
Which is nice.
Private?
Yeah.
Because you and I definitely spent some time in bathrooms nursing.
And we did. And then there was a whole movement around the Hooter Hider.
Oh,
where like some person created a Hooter Hider that, you know, kind of covered. It was like an apron that went over your boobies.
But then it had a big opening at the neck so you could look down.
Right.
Yeah, I had one. I mean, I don't think I ever actually used it, but we had one. And I just think it's ridiculous. I think that, yes, breasts are sexualized, and that's fine. But, I mean, when you're feeding a baby, it's not a sexualized thing. And if a dude gets off on that, why is that your problem?
Right.
I would think that would be a fetish. I wouldn't think that the majority of men are going to get off on watching a baby nurse. I think it's all a bunch of bullshit.
Right. I don't understand the necessity. Like, if you have to feed the baby, can you feed the baby? But does it have to be kind of for everybody to see in plain view?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. See, I don't disagree. I mean, for me, I'm not the kind of person that's comfortable whipping my boob out in public and just being feeding. Like, I covered myself just as a manner of my own modesty because I'm kind of like that. I was in the airport at spring break, and I was standing... We were checking in at one of those little kiosks, and I looked over, and a woman had, you know, those baby holders where the baby's like a little monkey, like facing you. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure most people didn't see it, but I happened to be looking her way, and she just like, the baby was facing her. She just like moved her tank top down, and the kid was nursing. Mm-hmm. And nobody probably had any clue that that was happening.
Right.
And so I'm all for, you know, there should be, you know, it's probably something you might want to do in private, but if you don't, or if it's not an option to do it in private, it shouldn't be looked down on.
Like if it's the apocalypse, right? And it's mass chaos.
Right.
Like, I think if you need to feed the baby, go for it. But do we have to create a spectacle out of like whipping it out and making sure that you're in front of
There are those
people
who will do that.
Right. I'm like, is that really necessary?
Who do make a political statement out of it?
Right. Are we embarrassing the baby?
I don't pee in front of people.
I don't.
Mm-mm. I go into a stall to pee.
Right.
I kind of would consider it similar. Not that it's, but I mean, I would go into a private place.
Like, I think it's natural and it's fine, but I just find it distasteful that you have to kind of whip it out without me really, I'm like, whoa, what's happening?
So you're adverse to seeing women breastfeed?
A little bit. I just sort of think, like, can't you turn around or, I don't know, just kind of make it a little bit, be discreet, right? Mm-hmm. When it's shoved in my face, I just sort of feel like it's sharp.
I think last week we were talking about sort of the extremes of sexual interest, and you made a remark, Lisa, about consent and the importance of consent. And if you want to dress up like a baby and have your wife powder your ass, it's purely about consent. It's not really about judgment of the act.
Right, like children and animals, can they really give consent?
Right. I feel like this is sort of the same thing. I feel like maybe you need to be able to give consent to witnessing it or not.
Right.
And if you're offended by it, you need to be able to not look at it.
Right.
But you are free to not look at it.
You can. And I have, right? When I've seen women breastfeeding in public, I'm like, oh, there it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Going the other direction. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I'm not going to shame a woman for wanting to do it. I just sort of, I mean, and I breastfed two kids. I don't know. I'm like, how hard is it to like throw a blanket over you? Is it that difficult? I don't know. I managed to figure it out for a couple of years with two kids.
Mm-hmm. Would you be comfortable breastfeeding openly in public without a blanket, without covering yourself up? Was that a personal choice?
I think I'd probably try to be discreet, kind of like what Jen talked about. Like, I would kind of try to figure out a way to have the baby be covering me as much as possible. I mean, there were times, because I'm a busy working mom, that I would have my breast pump in my car hooked into my cigarette lighter so that it would work. Mm-hmm. And then I bought a bra that basically attached the two breastfeeding mm-hmm. pumps, and I would throw a beach towel over the front of me and I would drive down the highway, like, you know, just pump for 15 or 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But it never occurred to me, like, I felt a little open, like not having some sort of a towel or something over mm-hmm. me. Like if somebody pulled up next to me and I just had my suckers, you know, being pumped into
like a cow.
Yeah. I just sort of felt it was a little embarrassing.
That's not quite the same. In fact, in that scenario, I'm more offended that you were driving distracted. But it's also a little bit different because I've seen the indignity of that apparatus.
That is right. Quite indignant.
It is.
I hated that. Not only does it not really work very well, but you're just sitting there. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you watch your nipples like become 9 feet long.
It's true.
It's like that's making
scary.
That like with suction udders. Noise.
Yep. It's udders. It's full on udders. It's so creepy.
I thought it was fascinating.
It is, but
I'm not offended by breastfeeding in public, and it's not because I'm interested in seeing it either. It doesn't turn me on any level. It's a very scientific.
I think that society needs to create a space for women to breastfeed. That's why I was talking about Nordstrom's at the beginning mm-hmm. of this segment, because I think they did a great job. They made a women's lounge within the bathroom that mm-hmm. has places to sit, that it's comfortable. And so why would you not run into Nordstrom's to feed your baby?
But that's such a rarity to find an area where you can sit and breastfeed your child in privacy. Most places aren't going to have that. And so you're sort of forced into that position of, mm-hmm. and I think what ends up happening is women get to a point where they're like, fuck it. I'm sick of having to worry about this. My baby is hungry. I need to feed mm-hmm. him. I'm going to do it. But I also, and this is my own issue, I don't enjoy watching like a 3-year-old tug at his mom's bra and nurse. That I'm not a fan of. I was in a play group till my youngest was 5, and there was a mom there who still nursed her child probably beyond when we used to see each other. And mm-hmm. I was
that Time magazine cover.
It was.
That made the cover.
Because we would be sitting there and all the, I mean, 4 years old. I mean, that's a big kid. That's a kid that's going mm-hmm. to school and uses the potty and does mm-hmm. all that stuff. And he would come over and just lift her shirt up mm-hmm. and she didn't have a bra on. And we'd be sitting at the park and he'd go to town for a few minutes and then he'd go back over to the slides.
You know, it's a weird thing, but as a man, what's bizarre to me about that is you have memory at 4 years old.
Exactly.
And I don't want to have any memory.
I don't disagree.
Of being fed by my mother.
It's back to consent.
But that is a whole. Yes. But that is a whole other part of that breastfeeding is there is that segment. I think it's a minority, probably a small minority, but that does believe in that nursing and sleeping in the bed with your kiddo and that whole attachment parenting thing, and that's that nursing until. I've read articles where it's like 7 years old, like they're going to school and writing their name.
Right.
And then coming home and asking for the boob.
I don't know. I think once they can drink out of an open cup, all bets are off with breastfeeding.
I mean, there has to be some individualization and some autonomy.
If you can get your nutrients.
Through something else. Through food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You breastfeed because you can't chew and do all that stuff.
Right. And you're trying to pass immunity onto your child.
Right.
But once they're old enough to get a flu shot.
Right. Well, and I truly believe at some point it's really not about the kid anymore.
Right.
You're enjoying that. You're getting something out of that.
The thing that I'm sensitive to in the discussion is, especially when there's like a judgment aspect of it.
Yeah.
Especially when men are judgmental of women for breastfeeding. That's bizarre to me. And I feel like maybe there's some sort of moral implications, or maybe they're trying to impose some morality on a mm-hmm. situation. I've always associated the objection to breastfeeding with some sort of moral or religious self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. But it sounds to me like that's not really the case. That's not exclusively the case, and that there are women or non-religious people who are still maybe not interested in seeing it. There's a lot of people who hate cyclists and mm-hmm. don't think they should be in the lane. And the answer is not to judge cyclists, but just to give them their own lane, right?
It's like Nordstrom's creating a road for them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think maybe we're talking more about infrastructure, and we'll get into that in our civic infrastructure podcast.
That's right.
I think when people, you know, make enough of an uproar, then society does something about it.
And it's also cultural too, because I mean, I'm 39 years old, and when I was a child, I was not breastfed at all. And back then it was not done. You could probably talk to a lot of women, you know, who are mothers at that point, and people around my age, it just wasn't done. Nobody understood the health benefits, and it was just, they kind of thought it was icky, it was gross, it just wasn't something, they didn't understand the health benefits. And so it's also a cultural thing, because now the pendulum has swung all the way to the other side. And so people are starting to almost get a little militant about breastfeeding. I mean, when I had my kids, my first one at 10, they gave you a huge thing of formula that they sent home with. And I just read recently that that trend is ending. Hospitals are no longer giving formula because they want to encourage breastfeeding. But there's a lot of reasons why women can't breastfeed. Or I still think you should be able to have the choice. If you don't want to breastfeed, then you should be able to give your children formula. I breastfed, but it didn't go well for long. So, you know, 5-6 months in, we were strictly on formula after that. I think now the moral thing is people are looking at people who are no longer who don't breastfeed, as something morally wrong with them versus, you know, like Giselle. Remember Giselle with the whole breastfeeding thing? And she said that women who didn't breastfeed were disgusting and you're not helping your child, and how could you do that? It's also cultural. African Americans don't breastfeed their children as much because it's a symbol of being poor because you can't buy formula.
Right.
So that's there's a lot of cultural implications in breastfeeding that we don't even take into consideration.
Right.
Do you know when the trend was recently or historically away from breastfeeding? Because obviously people did it for thousands of years. As
they
a default.
Did.
So was this like the 80s or the 70s where it went out of fashion?
It was definitely out of fashion in the 70s. I think it started coming back in the 80s, definitely in the 90s. And I don't know how far back it goes that it was not really socially acceptable. But I think some of that was socioeconomic too. I think it was, well, why are you nursing your child if you can afford formula? Formula's, you know, fine.
Right.
It's a very emotional topic.
It is.
Especially when your wife is feeding your children or having trouble with it.
Right.
Well, because that's the other thing too, is breastfeeding is not like the baby comes out and it always latches on.
No.
It can be really, really, really hard to learn how to breastfeed your child. And then with it comes all of the, what's wrong with me? This is supposed to be the most quote unquote natural thing. Why can't I breastfeed my child?
You can feel like an insta failure.
You do. You can feel like a failure if your milk doesn't come in and your child doesn't have a good latch, or some women have inverted nipples and they can't breastfeed very well. I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons. And now it's swung so that women are a little bit shamed if you're not breastfeeding, especially white middle-class women like us.
Right.
And we have no excuse, so we should be breastfeeding.
So you're shamed if you're not breastfeeding. You're shamed if you are breastfeeding publicly.
If in the act of it, you're shamed in the act, but on the consistent basis, if you're not, then you're also bad.
But
right,
it's true, there's a whole host of reasons why women can't breastfeed. My son was born and had special needs and couldn't latch, and I couldn't understand. Like, I had breastfed my daughter and it all went splendidly, so I couldn't figure out what the problem was.
So did you internalize that?
A little bit. I think at the beginning, I ended up pumping for him. I was pumping in the car. I was pumping for him for a couple of months before we realized that there was a problem. He had low tone. He couldn't latch good. But I did feel a little bit like a failure. I couldn't figure out what the problem with me was.
I 100%. I made it to about 6 months and I'd go into the doctor and be like, oh, he needs to gain more weight. He needs to gain more weight. You're not producing enough. And then it's like, you need to eat this. You need to drink this. You don't eat this. This will increase your production. So much pressure.
Or sometimes they have like allergies. And so then it's like the women are like, I'm off.
I can't have dairy.
I can't eat wheat. I can't eat anything spicy. So it's like we were just pregnant for 9 months. And now it continues with the restrictions.
So I guess we agree that there should be a choice about whether or not you witness it.
Yeah.
And you should have the opportunity to do it if you need to.
I think you should. I think that's what it comes to, is that I think if there were more opportunities for women to have a little bit more privacy, I don't think most women would choose to sit in the middle of the Cherry Creek Mall and nurse. I think they would rather be in a store or in a closed area. But, you know, if you're in an airport, what do you do? There's no breastfeeding area.
There's really nothing.
That's really the problem, is infrastructure. There's just no place to do it. So I think it's getting better.
A great example. Would you rather sit next to a screaming baby or a baby with a full belly?
Precisely.
Whose mother just fed him on the concourse.
Precisely.
Right. Because as much as it's their choice to breastfeed in public, it's my choice not to look.
Exactly. Just look away. There's There's a bunch of other stuff to look at. You can look.
Correct.
Look somewhere else.
Right. Mind your own business.
Are we more offended by breastfeeding or by the idea that there are old naked people walking around on beaches and you might have to encounter that?
I'm definitely slightly more offended by, I would say, seeing naked people on a beach if I didn't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm on a nude beach, certainly. I just think about my kids. Well, although we're not an anti-nude family, I think it's totally normal and natural to walk around nude, and I don't want them to have any weirdness about it. Although we did have our construction guy downstairs, and I found out my boys were playing truth or dare, and it ended up, the older one ended up daring the little one to run through the house naked with the construction guy there. So we had a little talk about nudity in the house with other people around. He's a little wild.
And how did that go? What did you teach him?
It was fine. He came upstairs and his brother was downstairs, and I said, hey, just come here for a minute. I said, listen, Being naked is totally fine. We do it all the time in our house. There's nothing wrong with it. I said, but we really don't get naked in front of other people when they're in the house. Mm-hmm. And when I said, should I go get naked and go run downstairs and have a chat with our construction guy? And he looked at me like I had four heads. He was like, no. I said, well, then why should you?
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh.
Was the construction guy just implicated because he was in the room, or was that part of the dare? To be naked.
I think that was part. Well, as it turned out, he was dared to take his clothes off and then lost them in the fort. So he was running back upstairs to get a new set. And I said, what can I do? And I said, well, you could send your brother upstairs to get you some shorts and then handle it that way. Because it's a really fine line between nudity is fine. There's nothing wrong with a naked body. There's nothing wrong with your body. We're totally fine. But they're little. And I just get freaked out. I mean, this guy is totally fine. I've known him for 20 years, but I don't want them to think it's okay to walk around in front of other people that aren't nude that he doesn't know. Like when they go to the bathroom, I say, don't use the trough. Don't use the urinal. Go in the stall because you're young and I don't want other men checking you out.
That's interesting.
It took me a long time to let the older one go into a men's bathroom without one of us. Mm-hmm. And now the little one, somebody has to go with him into a men's bathroom or he comes with me, which aggravates him. But it's not them I'm worried about. It's creepy old men or creepy young men or just creepy men in general watching them go to the bathroom.
The bathroom thing's interesting because if you've traveled abroad, there are family bathrooms in other countries everywhere you go. And for some reason here, they're harder to find.
Very hard.
I'm sure IKEA has one, but most places do not.
I think IKEA does have one.
Target has them. We go into the ones at Target.
The airport has them.
Airport has them.
Mm-hmm.
It's even difficult with a three-year-old daughter knowing, you know, where to take her sometimes.
See, the opposite gender is an issue because it did come to the point where it's like, should I be taking a seven-year-old boy into the women's bathroom?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I should be sending him into the... I don't know where that line is, and it was hard. And so I would say about 8 is when I finally was like, okay, you can go, but I would like stand next to it and be like, scream if anybody looks at you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it took a while. And so now I'm a little more comfortable with it because my 10-year-old gets it. Yeah. But that was an issue.
Going to the pool, going to locker room situations is a whole other story.
There's no changing tables in men's bathrooms.
Right.
That's like a problem. Right. So if there's not a family bathroom, it's difficult to find a place to change the baby if you're a man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Why aren't we more offended that there aren't changing tables in men's bathrooms?
Ashton Kutcher is.
Is he offended by
it? He's highly offended because they have a daughter. He went into, I think he was in New York City and went to like 6 bathrooms to change his daughter, and not one's men's bathroom had a changing table. So he's on the bandwagon now. He's trying to get that changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that was a cultural thing too. I mean, along with, you know, women take care of babies, whatever. But now it's not so odd for a man to be out with his kids, taking care of them for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't understand why we don't have... I guess that's the family bathroom
is the answer
to that situation. Mm-hmm. But they're still changing things in all the women's bathrooms as well as the family, but not in the men's.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about nudity and shame that you're forced to confront when you have children.
Yeah,
even
right now, we're going through our daughter sort of like getting a little handsy with herself sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And we catch her with her undies off and her hands where they shouldn't be. But you have to be tactful in how you present that
argument.
That's right. Because, and actually, I was talking to my therapist about this and her perspective, and she comes from a Catholic upbringing, so she's sensitive to the shame stuff.
Right.
Her perspective was to teach her that private parts are for private.
And that's what we do.
It's okay
in your room.
It feels good that you touch your privates,
yep.
But you do it in private. We're sort of dancing around this idea of nudism and nudity because I feel like you see nudists on vacation sometimes if you're on the right beach.
Yeah.
They're out there. They exist out there. The thing that's non-threatening to me about it is they're usually not terribly attractive.
It's always that way.
In terms of desexualizing nudity, I don't feel like there's much to be interested in sexually when you see, you know, 10, 60-year-olds posing naked on the beach. And I've never seen an aroused male as part of that photo op.
No. And I've been on a few nude beaches in Europe, and it does tend to be the 60-year-old leathery.
Yes.
Leathery. They've been out there naked on that beach for 45 years.
Yes.
You can tell they've been working on that tan. And they're leathery, and they're old, and it's not like anybody's packing huge heat either. And I don't know if that's a shrinkage issue or what, but it's like they're just out there. They're not out there to like be like, check me out. Mm. Who wants to have sex with me? They're just enjoying being nude on a beach, which
right.
The experience
all
of
I
the
think
sunshine
about,
on their bodies.
Yeah, and all I think about is sand in places
yes.
on a nude beach. Like, I don't want to sit on the sand and no thanks.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I think that maybe there should be more shame surrounding the summer sweater and the back hair and some of the other issues that are going on.
Well, I think the older people get, the less they care, right? They just
right,
are like,
true.
I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a shit.
They
check
just,
all this shit out.
Right. They
everybody
just,
look.
Right. They just become like excited that they're still alive and they're
right.
living on that frequency.
Precisely. And I think that's an interesting point though, too. The only new beaches I've been on are in Europe.
Right.
I've been on a
it's like young people like daring each other, right?
Right?
And like old people that are like, I'm doing this.
I don't give a shit.
I am doing this.
Yep.
I'm all here.
The thing that's hard for me is that I feel like, and we talked a little bit about overexposure with pornography. I think that modesty sort of contributes to the interest in nudity. And it would be hard in a nudist community to see naked people all the time and still be excited by naked people.
True.
And I would worry about losing that sensitivity.
Desensitization to nudity. You're like, a boob's a boob. Who cares anymore? Yeah, you don't want to feel that way.
Right.
You want boobs to excite you still.
Where?
As long as they're not breastfeeding.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as they're not breastfeeding.
Right.
As long as they're not breastfeeding four-year-olds.
Particularly four-year-olds.
It's too much.
Well, I think we need to take a quick break. When we get back, we will talk about flashing and exhibitionism. Welcome back to Family Affairs with Lisa Thomas and Jen Siegel. I'm your host, Ben Robbins. We were just talking about nudism and how nudists tend to seem non-threatening. There's sort of a consent issue there, and you're usually part of that nudist community and choosing to be a part of that experience. Where if you're a pervert on a playground, then you're sort of taking advantage of a situation and maybe eliminating some consent.
Right.
Flashing. Traditional flashing. The flashing we grew up with, which involved trench coats and old men.
Yeah, that's definitely without consent.
Is that still a thing?
It is still a thing.
Yeah.
People still do that.
They do?
Yeah, men still do that, for sure. For sure. Remember how recently there was like a festival and they found there was a guy hiding in the toilets?
Oh, yes.
I mean, like, that's...
You're right. Oh, and there was like a bunch of people caught putting cameras in bathrooms.
Right. There's like, you know, peeping Toms and
voyeurism,
which
stuff.
Is different than a glory hole.
Yes,
right?
Very different.
Very different.
Don't look through the glory hole.
I learned about that once.
Do not look through the glory hole.
Yes, don't look. Don't put anything in the glory hole.
No,
you may not get it back.
You will not get
so
it back.
So a glory hole is basically a hole in a wall that's often between public lavatories.
And there's usually something receiving on the other end.
Right. It's for people to engage in sexual activity or observe the person in the next cubicle where one or both parties masturbate.
I didn't consider that aspect
of
it.
People?
In addition to the penis, fingers or the tongue may be inserted into the hole.
Ooh.
I always thought it was just a penis inserted in the hole. I didn't think of a tongue.
It is not
glory
sanitary.
Holes are especially associated with gay male culture and anal or oral sex. but may also be used by bisexual or heterosexual men, or by men who do not identify as gay, bisexual, or heterosexual.
And just for the record, you absolutely can hang a roll of toilet paper on a penis through a glory hole.
You can.
That is not, there's no rule against that.
Feel free to use that toilet paper.
Gay websites offer directories of glory holes, and people sometimes install private glory holes within their residences.
So it's a real thing.
Can hit any rest stop on any interstate in the United States, and you will probably find a glory hole in one of the bathrooms.
Just because
that's very common.
I don't think I've ever seen one. But
well, I haven't because I don't go into men's bathrooms. But honestly, I think it's a rest stop thing. It's a long trip on that semi.
There you have it.
You got to go a long way by yourself.
That's a glory hole.
There it is. I guess it's for you to determine if it's glory or not.
Long day just to kind of wait on the other side of the partition.
With a willing something waiting on the other side.
Point. Right.
Yeah. Like, who just waits there?
Just waiting for somebody
to
come
in.
To
see if something comes through the hole.
And then you're like, nope, they're just going to pee. They're not even going to do anything.
Oh, yeah, some what guy's a disappointment. Hanging out outside the glory hole and he goes in every time someone else goes in.
Right. Would you put something in the glory hole to entice somebody from the other side? Like, what if they didn't see it?
Slowly reel it in.
Like a cucumber.
Yeah, and you might get some sort of rodent. You never know.
So I think flashing borders on like a sexual offense because it's without consent. If you go to a nude beach, you're expecting to see naked people. Mm-hmm. But I think most of the time when people are clinically, you know, when it's like a clinical offense, part of the excitement is seeing somebody's reaction. So I was always taught as a sex therapist, if anybody whips anything out, you should laugh at it or say nothing. Like, don't act shocked or, because it's sort of giving them
what they want.
What they want, right? So to give them some sort of a reaction that's unexpected. Because the expected reaction is like shock.
Right.
And, you know, oh my God.
Right.
So this is regarding an actual therapy session, how you should... So this is a concern. This is liability.
When you're trained as a sex therapist, you get trained. What do you do if somebody does something inappropriate?
Yeah.
Right?
Because how many people assume sex therapy is actual sex?
Well, you know, you sign a consent form before you go in, so I think that helps. Like, get that off the table before you go into a room and shut the door. But I find that people are more inappropriate on the phone.
Oh, right? You've told me some great stories.
People,
she gets a lot of heavy breathers.
Really?
Yeah.
Masturbators.
And they're paying you hourly?
No, they're calling to try to make an appointment to keep me on the phone to listen to my voice and describe their problem to see if I am shocked at what they're telling me.
You think that's part of their agenda is to shock
you? Yeah, I think that's part of the arousal pattern is to shock and to feel like they're in a position of control. They catch somebody off guard, right? It's a power thing.
What does that stem from in childhood?
Humiliation.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Or feeling, you know, that they had power taken away from them, and so they want to be in a position of power.
Okay.
Sometimes the shock value can play into that.
Are your normal people that we may see on the street that you may know flashers, or is this like kind of a...
No,
it's people kind don't of a weird.
Just, it's kind of a weird. Yeah, it's definitely a paraphilia. It's something that is different than how most people go through sexual development.
Interesting.
The dick pic phenomenon on Twitter seems to really enable that behavior in people.
No,
because
kidding.
There's a lot of that aggressive behavior.
But you're
on
missing
Twitter.
Out on the reaction part.
You are.
That's the only thing that's missing. You get your dick out there,
right?
But you're missing all those girls going, Oh my God, it's so big, or so small, or whatever you're looking for.
And there's probably a lesson in that for people who receive dick pics that are unsolicited, that you should not react to it.
Exactly.
You should not give them any satisfaction, good or bad.
That's actually a good point. Ladies, gentlemen, don't react to the dick pics.
Because maybe the guy sending them isn't looking for a positive response.
Exactly.
Right, so just don't do anything with it.
So
Delete,
walk away.
If we get into Mardi Gras behavior and or just drunk flashing at bars, which I think is usually women being provoked into flashing boobs.
Right.
Obviously, that's not aggressive behavior on their part. Right.
No.
They're attention seeking or reacting to a situation.
Yeah, I think it's more attention seeking. I think when men flash, especially if they're erect, it's seen as a symbol of like, you know, rape or dominance mm-hmm. or control. Mm-hmm. Like if I whip my boobs out, I don't think it's going to frighten you.
Right.
Right.
Well, right.
We don't have to get into that, but...
We have had two cases.
You're not going to become afraid that I'm going to, like, you know, rape you or... You're right. It's,
you don't
it's
fear
not,
for your safety. Right. Out.
Once again, no comment.
I guess it depends on how... If they're really big, you could suffocated.
I think the difference is it's hard for me to imagine you doing that aggressively.
Right.
And it would
be really caught off guard.
Look at him!
I can't imagine that scenario.
No. Right.
I feel like, once again, men are the culprits in a scenario where a woman's flashing her breasts.
Right. Because I feel like when police take a police report and mm-hmm. they want a description of the flasher, they want to know if he was erect or not.
Oh,
it's like,
really?
Right. It's like part of the description. Right? Was he aroused when he flashed you?
Because would that imply malice if he was? Yeah. Like if he's flaccid, you're like, you know what? Don't worry about him.
I wasn't worried about
it. APB, all points bulletin right. on the erect flasher.
Well, if the flash is erect, then, you know, he's aroused.
He's
then
ready to go. He's probably going to take you down. Yeah.
Right.
For
the
real.
Next thing that
flaccid
could happen.
Is a misdemeanor.
Right.
Yeah, totally. Totally. That's awesome.
Levels,
right?
Levels.
Right.
So then where does exhibitionism fall in here? Because there's some people who, there's men and women who like the possibility of getting caught having sex publicly or changing right. in front of a window.
Right. I think it's different if you're an exhibitionist because you just like being naked or you want to be sexual with your spouse, like out in nature,
and
right?
be a little mm-hmm. naughty.
But if it's catching somebody else off guard and that's part of the arousal pattern, I think mm-hmm. that is a paraphilia.
If it's malicious, okay. that's malicious.
If it's malicious.
Having sex with your boyfriend, girlfriend on a beach or somewhere where you could get caught is just mm-hmm. fun for the two of you. But right. if a flasher is a malicious thing, mm-hmm. he's...
If you're doing it to get caught, I think that implies...
No good.
No good.
But there are those people that like to have... See, I'm not that person. Mm-hmm. I'm... petrified of somebody walking up, God forbid the police.
Yeah.
Well, I'm having sex. That would be the most mortifying and like, what is that ticket going to look like? How am I going to, all I think of, how am I going to explain
exposure.
This to mm-hmm. like
What am
somebody?
I going to tell my father?
What am I, honest to God, everything yeah. comes back to what am I going to tell my father? He's right. going to whoop my ass when he finds out
You're
about
just going to tell your father, free the nipple.
Right.
Exactly. Hashtag dad.
But I remember, you know, one time we were in college and we went to Mexico and we went out on the balcony of our hotel room and we were having sex on the balcony. Mm-hmm. And I guess we must have been loud because people ended up knocking on the door and asking if we could keep it down.
Cut that shit out.
Wow. And I remember thinking, like, you know, I wouldn't do that in a place where I could really get caught, like out in the open on a beach or something. I would mm-hmm. do it sort of like on a balcony that implied semi-privacy.
Well, Lisa mm-hmm. and I did, I'm going to out both of us just for a moment. We were in Australia for a week last year. We were in a hotel that had mm-hmm. big windows mm-hmm. overlooking the office building next door. And we might have pressed him up against the window once or twice.
We were like, is anybody watching?
Yeah.
Let's see.
And were they?
I don't know.
Did they drop their Vegemite sandwiches?
I didn't totally. See any Vegemite being dropped. I don't think anybody was
paying attention.
But
we were just curious.
Attention.
So what is that? And I am such a modest person, but I was like, that was probably, I'm in another, literally on the opposite side of the earth. So mm-hmm. nobody I know is over there. Nobody's right. going to yeah. see. And I'm, like you said, I'm not out on a beach. I'm in a hotel room.
They have European values. They probably
didn't care
even notice.
No. Exactly. They're like, another pair of boobs out of the hotel room.
Yeah. Right.
Tenth this week.
So undressing in front of a window is malicious or not?
I don't know. I don't think it is. Although I was just looking at something, mm-hmm. some thing the other day, and these people had put a big note on like their third story apartment window because mm-hmm. the people across the street in the apartment across the street were having sex all the time. They put a sign that was like, "We see you shagging all the time," or something like that. So in that case, mm-hmm. it is sort of like they're doing it. Nobody wants to see. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like a flasher is really malicious. A flasher is really trying to like. Hurt you in some way, but people having sex in their hotel room in an open window
right.
doesn't seem as mean.
It's
I think if needing
going.
Shock is part of the arousal pattern, then mm-hmm. it's paraphilia. Then mm-hmm. it's paraphilic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you're doing it and somebody happens to see, but it's not part of what
why you're doing it.
Right, why you're doing it, or, you know, that's part of how you're getting aroused is by seeing the look on somebody's face as they see you.
So what about webcams?
What about
that? I mean, that's serious.
That's a very safe way to
that's, be. It is very exhibition. Safe.
That's consent. That's consent. You're right. Because you're not just going to stumble across a webcam.
They're like, oh, Huffington Post Media. Oh,
yeah. Like I have clients that are web models and they make a wonderful living mm-hmm. doing it. And, mm-hmm. you know, they say it's safe. They don't fear that somebody's going to hurt them because right. they're protected and it's no touch. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to accidentally stumble across a webcam.
That's true.
Right. Mm-mm. No, and it probably takes a lot of the liability out of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a way to be a safe sex worker.
Definitely.
Could you imagine if we could see the thousands of faces of people that are listening to this podcast right now? How much pressure that would put on?
You're right.
I mean, but think about, remember Chat Roulette?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Chat Roulette, that was like a little risky, right? Because when you went on,
you didn't know who you were getting.
You didn't know. There could be a dude masturbating,
right.
a mother washing dishes, right? It's like, it's just, but you knew that was part of the risk.
And it's fun.
It was fun.
Right. You're like, am I going to get that mom or am I going to get that guy?
Right.
There does seem to be a gender correlation with what's offensive and what's not. It seems like if a guy is doing anything, then that's malicious. And if a girl's doing anything, then that's fun.
I think doing it with a woman legitimizes whatever you're doing.
Exactly. Right.
You want to get in the swingers club? Yeah. You're going to need me. Take a woman.
No, I try
you
to
automatically
alone,
got dudes automatically are like safe. Like that guy's safe. He's with a girl.
That's so true though.
It's true.
That is
like
true.
Like if a guy comes by himself, he's super creepy.
For sure. For sure.
So when a woman is changing, undressing in front of a window, I just assume that she knows that window's open and that I'm across the street with binoculars in the tree trying to...
I would agree. I mean, my bedroom window faces my backyard and nothing else. And mm-hmm. I make sure the blinds are closed when I get undressed in there still. If my window... It's almost like if my blinds are open, I assume somebody can probably see me and I don't want that. So I would close them. I agree. If somebody's getting naked in front of an open window, mm-hmm. they're doing it on purpose.
How do you feel about... getting into legal territory, the punishment that requires people to be registered sex offenders when their crime was sexual in nature, but maybe the magnitude was more on the level of skinny dipping. I'm always thinking it's a little bit devastating when 18-year-olds have to register as sex offenders because they got caught skinny dipping.
Or they were walking home drunk at 2 a.m. and peed on a tree.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
No, I think that that's crazy.
So where does that fall in the spectrum of indecent exposure? When you're doing something that's socially unacceptable, that's offensive to people who don't want to see your private parts?
I guess for me, it would be intent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a guy's peeing on a tree drunk at 2 a.m., he's not intending to hurt anybody mm-hmm. or flash anybody. He's just being stupid. I mean, I've peed in a Taco Bell parking lot at 2 a.m. myself. Mm-hmm. And so when you got to go and you got to go and you're drunk and you're not thinking clearly, there was no malicious intent there.
Right.
But somebody who's naked under a trench coat and goes to a playground or a subway station or whatever to show people, there's definite malicious intent. Mm. I mean, it's the same thing like with schools, like, you know, the no weapon policy. Mm-hmm. Well, if a kid has, you know, something he accidentally brought and didn't mean to, mm-hmm. like a plastic knife to cut his apple and his mom wasn't thinking that morning, mm-hmm. that's different than a kid who's got a loaded gun in his backpack. I mean, I think intent has a lot to do with
intent, I think, does have a lot to do with it.
Intent and consent.
Along with your socioeconomic status, because if you can get a lawyer, then you may not.
If you're a rich white person, you're fine.
That's a good point.
Most of the time.
Yes.
All right. That brings us to the end of our episode. I want to thank Lisa and Jen for being here. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Ben.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Family Affairs.
Please subscribe.
Subscribe.
Please subscribe through iTunes and give us a great review.
Or you can go fuck yourself.
The sex therapist recommends that you do go home and fuck yourself.
Links to resources we mentioned in today's show can be found on our website,
smartstudio.media.
While you're there, please follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
You can find me, Lisa Thomas, at Lisa the Sexpert on Twitter or onlinecouch.com.
You can find me, Jen Siegel, at Jen Love Stars on Twitter.
And I'm Dick Scurvy on Twitter. Dick Scurvy. Dick. By the way, if you have any questions or stories to share, please feel free to email us at familyaffairs@smartstudio.media.
The views expressed in this program are those of the participants appearing on the show and not those of Smart Studio or its employees. Come back and see what we talk about next week.
Please tune in next week for another great episode.
See you next week. Bye.